السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قرآن کریم میں
In the Holy Quran, we find that at numerous places, a believer's attention has been drawn towards financial sacrifice. At one place, Allah the Almighty states, وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ. And whatever of wealth you spend, it is for yourselves. Alongside this, a trait of the believers has also been mentioned, that they only spend in order to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. Allah the Almighty states, وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. You spend not but to seek the favor of Allah. Thus, how fortunate are those people who spend their wealth in the way of God the Almighty with this mentality. And today, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, there is no one in the entire world except for Ahmadis who have the mindset of offering financial sacrifices in order to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. There may well be some other people in the world who spend in order to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, or spend according to their personal capacity. However, as an organized collective community, it is only the Ahmadiyya Muslim community who, apart from spending in aid of the poor and the needy, also spend for the propagation of the religion and for displaying the true picture of Islam to the world, even burdening themselves in the process purely in order to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. In reality, all such spending, whether it is in aid of someone or for the sake of the religion, it is for the attainment of the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. Allah the Almighty does not require any wealth for Himself. The very meaning of spending for His sake is to spend for the betterment of His creation and for the superiority of His religion. While referring to Allah the Almighty, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said in a hadith Qudsi that, O son of Adam, deposit your wealth with me and rest at peace, for it is neither in danger of being consumed by fire, nor of being drowned in water, nor of being stolen by a thief. I shall return in full the treasure that you deposit with me on the day when you will be in most need of it. Thus, what we apparently consider to be an expenditure, while spending it for the sake of Allah's pleasure, Allah the Almighty says that in reality, it is not expenditure. What one spends for his pleasure and for the objectives he has set is in fact not an expenditure. Rather, it has been deposited into our account. And when we will need of it, Allah the Almighty will return it. Likewise, it is mentioned in a narration that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that on the day of resurrection, those who spend in the way of Allah will remain under the shadow of the wealth they had spent in the way of Allah until the judgment will have come to an end. However, alongside this, on one occasion, the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has also stipulated that Allah the Almighty does not like impure wealth. He does not like the wealth which has been earned through improper means. Rather, when pure wealth, which has been earned through hard work, spent in His way, will be accepted. Thus, we should always keep in mind that our wealth should always remain pure. How did the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, used to earn and give charity with hard work and toil, only to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, and in order to participate in any financial appeal by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him? They would give sadaqat, or alms, and also charity. It is narrated in the following words that Hadith Abu Mansur Ansari said that whenever the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made an appeal to charity and to financial sacrifices, some of us would go to the market to work and undertake labor. Furthermore, even if a person would receive one mud or measuring unit as a result thereof, he would contribute it towards that scheme. Mud is a measuring unit with which grain is measured, which is perhaps equivalent to or less than a kilogram. Nevertheless, that companion says that those people who face such circumstances at that time would go to the markets and work in order to make even the smallest of contributions in relation to that sacrifice. Allah the Almighty has subsequently endowed them with such worldly means that some of them are now in possession of hundreds of thousands of dirham or dinar. There is one narration with regards to Hadrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, that when he accepted Islam, he had accumulated 40,000 ashrafis, or the currency unit, apart from his business and property. He desired to spend this entire amount in the way of the religion. As a matter of fact, he acted accordingly, and at the time of migration, he was left with only 500 ashrafis from this amount. If we compare the golden ashrafi of that time to its value today, it is perhaps equivalent to 11 or 12 million pounds. This amount is even greater than our worldwide budget for Waqf-e Jadeed. Hence, this was the state of the companions, that even those who possessed nothing, they made an effort and tried to contribute even a few pennies, cents, or rupees. Furthermore, those who were affluent cared the least for being impoverished and spent in the cause of Allah the Almighty without any hesitation. Then we also observe this among the companions of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, on whom be peace. We hear incidents of the sacrifices of Hadrat Khalifatul Masih the First, may Allah be pleased with him, who made innumerable sacrifices whenever the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, made an appeal. Similar is the case of Hadrat Dr. Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib, who was the father of Hadrat Umme Nasir. When he heard about the claim of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, he immediately said that a person to make such a big claim cannot be a liar, and he did the bayt, the pledge of allegiance, at once. Following this, he also remained at the forefront in making financial sacrifices. He was a doctor by profession, and he was a civil servant. He was rather affluent, and he earned a handsome amount. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has included him amongst his 12 disciples. Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, has said that his sacrifices were so immense that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, gave him the honor, saying that you have offered such immense sacrifices for the sake of this Jamaat, that is for the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, that you are no longer in need of making any further sacrifices. In any case, these were the people who used to offer sacrifices. However, despite receiving this honor, he did not refrain from offering sacrifices. Rather, he continued to do so. When the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was engaged in the lawsuit in Gurdaspur, he made an appeal for financial sacrifices to his friends, as the expenses were increasing. There were costs related to the lawsuit, and in particular, the expenses of the langarkhana, or the communal kitchen, which have increased. The reason for this was that due to the stay of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in Gurdaspur, the langarkhana was being operated in Gurdaspur as well as in Qadian. Hence, when the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, made an appeal to collect funds in relation to this, Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib, who coincidentally received his wage the very day he became aware of this appeal, he sent his entire salary to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, which was 450 rupees, at that time, and a large amount equivalent to hundreds of thousands today. One of his friends said to him that he should have kept something for the necessities of his home and family. Upon this, he replied that if Allah the Almighty's Messiah says that this is needed for the sake of religion, then for what purpose should I have kept something? Thus, if this is needed for the religion, then everything will go towards the religion. Similarly, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has also mentioned the sacrifices of some of his impoverished Ahmadis in a most affectionate manner. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, on whom be peace, states, I look upon the affection and sincerity of my Jamaat, my community, with astonishment, as the most impoverished amongst them, such as Mia Jalaluddin, Khairuddin, and Imamuddin of Kashmir, who live near my village. These are three impoverished brothers, who perhaps earn 3 or 4 annas on a daily basis, yet they actively contribute towards the monthly chanda. In other words, they regularly contribute towards financial sacrifices. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, further stated, I am also astonished in relation to the sincerity of their friend, Mia Abdul Aziz, who is a revenue collector. Despite being impoverished, he offered 100 rupees one day and said that I desire for this to be spent in the way of God. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, "This poor man might have accumulated these 100 rupees over several years. However, his love for Allah the Almighty infused a passion to acquire the pleasure of God within him." Hence, this system of sacrifices, in relation to which I have presented one or two accounts of the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as one or two accounts of the companions of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is in accordance with the command of Allah the Almighty. Furthermore, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, this can be observed among the Jama'at, the community of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, even today. Allah the Almighty has instilled within the Jama'at of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, such a comprehension of this system of sacrifices, which, as I said, has not been instilled within anyone else. Furthermore, we witness innumerable examples thereof every year. Today, in accordance with the tradition of announcing the commencement of the new year for Waqf-e Jadid in the first sermon of January, I will narrate some faith-inspiring incidents in relation to the financial sacrifices towards Waqf-e Jadid and how Allah the Almighty, as a result of their sacrifices, blesses them in this world, which subsequently becomes a means of strengthening and increasing their faith. With what passion people offer financial sacrifices and instances of following the example of the companions, which I mentioned earlier, in that they would go to the market in relation to the appeals for financial sacrifices and present to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, whatever little amount they would earn. Such examples are found amongst us even today. Amir Sahib, the national president of the Jamaat in Burkina Faso, writes that our Jamaat of Qari is situated in the Wigdou region. Nearby, the government is installing fiber optic cables in the ground. Hence, the Khudam living near the Jamaat of Qari asked the contractor to allocate to them the job of digging the path for 1 kilometer. Hence, upon receiving this job, the Khudam carried out this task of digging together. Furthermore, they contributed the amount of 1 million franc CFA, which they received in return, which is equivalent to approximately £1,250, towards the chanda of Waqf-e Jadid. Thus, this is the passion which, as I mentioned, cannot be seen outside of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community today. I will present an example of how Allah the Almighty strengthens the faith of the youth and children through the blessings of chanda, financial sacrifices. There is a Jamaat in the Panfura region in Burkina Faso. One of its members narrates his incident saying that, "I had to embark on a journey and the year of Waqf-e Jadid was coming to an end. On the other hand, the crop was also being harvested. Prior to embarking on the journey, I told my children to contribute a tenth of the crop towards chanda, towards financial sacrifices, after it had been completely been harvested. Following this, I set out on the journey. Later, the children brought the entire crop home and they did not contribute anything towards the chanda, the financial sacrifice." He says that when I returned and inspected, I found that my children brought all the grain home. "I told my children to take all the grain out of the house and take out the portion for the chanda. When my children took out all the grain from the house and returned it to the same place, having taken out the portion for the chanda, it was as if there was no reduction in it at all. Seeing this, my children were left astonished that they had separated the portion for the chanda, yet the grain is still the same as before. I then told them that Allah the Almighty showered you all to this to demonstrate that spending in His way does not detract from your wealth at all. In fact, it increases it. So this is the level of faith of these people who are sitting thousands of miles away, have accepted the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and are acting upon the true teachings of Islam. There is also an incident of being taken out of difficulty due to the blessings of Janda and of the strength of faith. An Ahmadi friend, Yaqub Sahib from the Dapingo community in Ivory Coast, relates that I have been an Ahmadi for quite a long time but was not participating in giving Janda. Before, my life was always filled with tribulations and difficulties. Sometimes my children were sick. Other times there were worries about my crops. However, for the last 3 years, I have been giving towards the blessed scheme of Waqf-e Jadeed, and by the grace of Allah the Almighty, after regularly giving towards this scheme, Allah the Almighty has changed my life completely. Now my children are much healthier and my crops are growing much better. The spirit of sacrifice to gain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty is also imbued in the hearts of the new converts. A friend from Ivory Coast, Zablur Sahib, not long ago converted from Christianity to Ahmadiyyat. He is the only Ahmadi in his village and he regularly listens to the sermons and many other programs of the community. He is very sincere and has developed greatly in faith and in sincerity. After taking the oath of allegiance, he studied all the French literature of the community and he has become a very good da'ilillah, caller to Allah, and does a lot of preaching. He left his village to live near our Jamaat or community center in order to learn more and more about Islam. In this time, he had no job because he had left his village, so he faced difficulty in finding employment. He was searching for a job and his wife was earning very little with which they were paying for the expenses of the house. When they were encouraged to give the janda, despite the very difficult situation, they gave 5,000 franc sifa. He says that this is the janda from me and my family. Of course, we are facing difficulties, but I do not wish to be deprived of the blessings of Janda. Regarding how God the Almighty grants comfort to those who give Janda, our missionary in Ivory Coast writes that Bonduko is known to be the citadel for Islam in the Ivory Coast, and the clerics are in abundance there. A friend, Abdul Rahman Sahib, who is being preached to over there, took the bet, the Pledge of Allegiance. He was introduced to the community through a pamphlet. He says that 4 years ago, my family and I converted from Christianity to Islam. However, I was not completely satisfied. But when I learnt about the Ahmadiyya community, and having visited the mission house, I received the answers to all my questions and I took the bet, the Pledge of Allegiance. He says that when I took this oath, it was the month of December. The missionary spoke in the mosque about the importance of the Waqf-e Jadeed scheme and encouraged us to donate towards it. At the time, I had 2,000 franc sifa, from which I gave 1,000 there and then under Waqf-e Jadeed. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. Since that day, Allah the Almighty has changed my life completely. He poured His blessings in my work. In my workplace, everyone, including the senior management, respect me. And with a limited income, there are so many blessings that I am living comfortably. So this person became a regular contributor of Janda from the first day after taking the bet, the Pledge of Allegiance. There is an example of a new convert of a village named Shatamba in Tanzania. Jaini Palu Sahib states that I used to be very niggardly when it came to giving chanda. Whenever I was reminded to give chanda, I would always find some excuse. I used to work in preparing coal, and financially I was not well off. This is why I did not used to give chanda. However, when I understood the meaning of spending in the way of Allah, my whole life changed. And this year, when I planted my crops, the field in which I would get 8 to 10 sacks, I got 56 sacks of rice from the same field. This was all as a result of spending in the way of Allah. Ever since I have been giving in the way of Allah, my life has turned around and my financial state has improved. I am currently building a 6-bedroom house, and I am doing so because whenever guests of the Jamaat of the community come to our village, I want them to stay at my house and I would be honored to host them. So now what he is spending to build this house, he has done so by giving preference and priority to the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and the pleasure of his religion and faith. His first priority was to spend in the way of his faith. A missionary in Mali writes that in our mission house, a friend called Abdul Rahman came and said that he wished to take the bet, the pledge of allegiance. When he was asked why he wished to do so, he replied that my grandfather was a noble man and he told us that the Imam Mahdi has arrived and that one sign of his is that the followers of the Imam Mahdi will aid him in his services to Islam financially. When I heard the announcement on your radio program that the Imam Mahdi has come and heard the following sermons of the Khalifa in which incidents of financial sacrifice were mentioned, I had firm faith that this was the Imam Mahdi about whom our grandfather informed us. This is why I wish to take the oath of allegiance, the Bayt. Thus this man took the oath and has been regularly contributing chanda and is partaking in financial sacrifices. Those who have reached extreme deprivation also make financial sacrifices, and then God the Almighty provides for them in marvelous ways and strengthens their faith. The Emir of the Gambia writes that a woman named Fatima Jalu Sahiba, who is 49 years old, lives in Kunda village of West Niamina. When she was urged to contribute to Waqf-e Jadid, she said that I do not have any money, but my good friend gave me a chicken a few days ago. This is like the woman who came to Qadian to give her eggs and a chicken to Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him. So if the community accepts this, then she would be paying off her chanda for Waqf-e Jadid, and she gave the chicken in contribution. After giving this chanda, she said that I am very worried for my uncle, who was the only person providing for the house, and who 4 months ago was sentenced to 7 years in jail in Senegal under the allegation of public disturbance, and is now in jail. In any case, she was told that he wrote a letter to me for prayers. Afterwards, she said that she gave some chanda and there were blessings thereof. She says that after 2 months, she was informed that the government forgave him and he was released from prison. The person heard this news and said that it was a miracle, as it is impossible to be released for this crime. When the uncle of this woman, Daimin Jalu Sahib, came to know of this incident, that his niece gave chanda in this way and wrote to me, that is to Huzur, for prayers, and then he was released. He was very moved by this and he too accepted Ahmadiyyat. Now, by the grace of Allah, Fatima Sahiba regularly gives chanda. She preaches and tells others that as a result of the blessings of chanda, her uncle, whom she was worried about, was released from prison. It is not only in Africa, rather by the grace of Allah, Ahmadis in developed countries also display strong faith and sincerity. A missionary of Australia, Sayyid Wadood Sahib, writes that a young man of Melbourne who is studying in university contributed towards Waqfe Jadeed as he had promised. However, during the Friday sermon, attention was again given to financial sacrifice. This young man then promised a further $550 and paid it off the following day. He was also working part-time while studying, and after every 15 days he would earn $530. However, this week he earned $1,230, which he was not expecting at all. He said that this only happened as a result of spending in the way of Allah. Then the Emir of Fiji writes regarding a young man from the Nasarvanga community that he is a very sincere person and is serving as the finance secretary or the secretary Mal. Ever since he started giving chanda, God Almighty blessed his business immensely. His wife, who is from a Christian family, says that this was all a result of the service to faith and to financial sacrifice. Otherwise, our debts would never have been cleared. Then there is a well-established community in Benin where the Mu'allim, the local preacher Hamid Sahib, writes that the locals are mostly farmers who grow cotton. This year, the cultivators counted the cotton and piled it up in a place near the village so that it could be sent to the factory. However, one day the pile was set on fire and all of a sudden millions of rupees worth of cotton was burnt to ashes. At that time, only one man's cotton survived, who was a sincere member of the community. The local said that this is a miracle that Allah the Almighty saved your cotton. The Ahmadi friend then said that I truly believe that God Almighty saved this wealth because I am an Ahmadi and every month I gave chanda in the way of Allah. A missionary of Congo Brazzaville writes that a woman named Madame Aisha teaches in a government school. One day she came to the mission house with her son and expressed her extremely difficult financial worries. One reason for her financial worries was her husband not allowing her to spend any of it. But apart from the monthly allowance from the government as a teacher was deducted to half due to some previous debt. She had taken a loan. She received half her monthly income. Her husband was not giving her anything and she was very worried. He says that after hearing about her distressful situation, he told her to write to me, that is to Hazur, for prayers. And the other piece of advice he gave was that however much she could afford, she should pay her chanda regularly. She immediately wrote for prayers and also started to pay her chanda regularly and paid on behalf of her family as well. Only a few days had passed that the father began paying the rent of the house and his son's school fees. Moreover, for the first time, her elder sister, who had taken over the entire inheritance from the late father, sent her 100,000 franc sifa. This Ahmadi lady immediately phoned the mission house and informed them that all her worries had been removed due to the blessings of chanda. She then came to the mission house and gave a further 10,000 franc sifa from this amount towards her chanda. The Sadr Lajna, national president of the Ahmadiyya Women's Auxiliary Canada, writes, A girl studying at university mentioned that her local Waqf-e Jadid secretary advised her that she should certainly pay her Waqf-e Jadid chanda and God Almighty would alleviate her difficulties. The young girl relates that at the time I only had $50, which was quite a substantial amount for me as a student. However, I paid it towards my Waqf-e Jadid chanda. Having paid this money in the way of God the Almighty, a short period later, I received an $800 scholarship from the university, and thus God Almighty rewarded me manifold for my sacrifice. An Ahmadi member from Egypt, Abdul Rahman Sahib, states, perhaps it was in June when he wrote this account. He says that last Friday I had 100 Egyptian pound, out of which 50 Egyptian pounds I gave to the Jamaat, and the remaining amount I kept for travel and for personal needs. I live very far from my original home and hometown, where except for God Almighty, I have no one. The very next day I suddenly realized that I received my monthly income rather quickly this time, as usually it would always come late. I decided to collect this money straight away. Therefore, 2 days later, I went to collect it and noticed that the government had increased my income by 60%. I have now decided to pay half this amount in the way of God next Friday. Pray that may God the Almighty grant me the delight in sacrificing in His way. One of our inspectors from India, Salim Khan, writes, I visited a local Jamaat Sambriala in the district of Gujarat. I contacted one of the members by telephone and told him that we were coming to visit him in an hour's time. After an hour, we got there and were still only talking that all of a sudden two men came in, said something to him, and then took his refrigerator away. I asked him, what happened? He replied, well, you said that you were coming to see us. However, we had no money, so we decided to sell the refrigerator at home. I told him that there was no hurry, and that even now he should ask for the refrigerator to be returned. However, he replied the following, this cannot be possible, that a representative comes from the Markaz, the headquarters, and we allow him to return empty-handed. What is a refrigerator? We can just simply buy another one again, inshallah, God willing. May Allah the Almighty bless the wealth of this person. This gentleman lives in a rented property and works as a carpenter, but despite his difficult circumstances, he does not hesitate in spending in the way of God the Almighty. Similarly, Munawwar Sahib is another inspector of Waqf-e Jadid from India. He writes, during my visit of Sandan, which is a Jamaat in the district of UP, I visited one of the members to collect Waqf-e Jadid. However, he expressed his difficulties and said that his circumstances were currently not all that good, and so I should come the next morning. The next day I visited him again, and he said that he was unable to make arrangements to gather the money for this. So look at the spirit of the sacrifice in young children. So his young daughter was standing nearby and was listening to the conversation. She came to the father and said, you promise me that since the weather is getting increasingly cold, you will buy me a new pair of shoes. So can you give me the money that you have kept aside for those shoes? The child insisted and got the money from her father and paid all of it towards Waqf-e Jadid and said, shoes can be bought later, but take the chanda now. Although I have previously said that we should take care of such people, and even if they want to make a contribution, we should not take it. However, some of them who are in this condition insist and compel us to take it. In such cases, the Jamaat should take care of them afterwards. Another inspector from India, Farid Sahib, says, I went to UP during the month of November for Waqf-e Jadid collection. I learned that in Meerut there was an Ahmadi household which had no contact with the Jamaat for many years. When I visited their home and drew their attention towards financial sacrifice, they said that they not only want to contribute towards Waqf-e Jadeed, but they want to contribute towards all the various chandas. The gentleman wrote down his budget for chanda according to the prescribed rate, and also wrote down a budget for Waqf-e Jadeed, Tehreek-e Jadeed, and also for the auxiliary organizations. He also straight away gave £15,000 for Waqf-e Jadeed. In this way, through the blessed scheme of Waqf-e Jadeed, God Almighty reconnected a whole family with the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. Thus, as I have mentioned on numerous occasions before, that if there is ever any negligence, then it is on our part and from our volunteers, as we do not keep contact with the Jamaats, and at times, people are not contacted for a very long time. Therefore, the whole administration, the whole Nizam, needs to be activated. These are but a few accounts that I related, which not only reveal the financial sacrifices made for the sake of religion, but are also a proof of the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat or community, and the fact that it has been established by Allah the Almighty. May God the Almighty enable the members of the Jamaat to increase in their faith and belief, and may they continue to increase in offering sacrifices to attain the pleasure of God the Almighty. I shall now mention about the sacrifices made by the various Jamaats in the previous year towards Waqf-e Jadeed, and also reveal their ranks and positions. By the grace of God the Almighty, the 60th year of Waqf-e Jadeed has come to an end, and from the 1st of January, the 61st year has started. The Ahmadiyya Muslim community worldwide has made a total sacrifice of £8.862 million towards Waqf-e Jadeed. That is an increase of £842,000 from the previous year. After Pakistan, who has always remained in the first position, the top 10 positions of the countries in the rest of the world in terms of total contribution are as follows. First is the United Kingdom. Second is Germany. For Tehreek-e Jadeed, the positions were the other way round. Then third is the United States of America. Canada is fourth. Fifth is India. Sixth is Australia. Seventh is a Middle Eastern country. Eighth is Indonesia. Ninth is a Middle Eastern country. And then Ghana is 10th. Ghana has made a lot of progress this year. In terms of local currency, the countries with a significant increase from last year, Canada are first on the list. They have made good progress. Amongst the African countries, Nigeria made good progress, with an increase of 83%. Mali achieved a 55% increase, Sierra Leone 45%, Cameroon 45%, Ghana 24%. That is, all of these are an increase from last year. In terms of participants, and the fundamental point is that the participants should increase. By the grace of Allah, more than 1.6 million people contributed in the Waqf-e Jadeed scheme. There was an increase of 268,000 participants. In this respect, Nigeria stood first, then Sierra Leone, Niger, Benin, Mali, Cameroon, Ivory Coast, Senegal, and Burkina Faso. Then there's the Gambia, Guinea-Bissau, Kenya, Tanzania, Zimbabwe. All of them have worked significantly in this regard. As for the Chanda Balighan, in places such as Pakistan and Canada, there are two types of Chanda, Atfal and also Balighan. However, on this occasion, Australia also participated. In Pakistan, the first three rankings for Balagan are as follows. First place was Lahore, second was Rabwah, third was Karachi. In terms of districts, the rankings were as follows. Islamabad stood first, then Rawalpindi, Sargodha, Gujarat, Umarkot, Hyderabad, Mirpur Khas, Dera Ghazi Khan, Kotli, Azad Kashmir, and Quetta. The first 10 Jamaats in terms of total collection are as follows. Islamabad Township, Gulshan Iqbal Karachi, Samanabad Lahore, Rawalpindi Town, Azizabad Karachi, Delegate Lahore, Mughalpura Lahore, Sargodha Town, and Dera Ghazi Khan Town. The first three Jamaats in terms of ranking for Atfal are as follows. First was Lahore, second Karachi, and third Rabwah. The rankings in terms of districts, Sargodha, Rawalpindi, Gujarat, Faisalabad, Hyderabad, Narowal, Dera Ghazi Khan, Kotli, Azad Kashmir, Sheikhupura, Badin. The first 10 Jamaats in terms of ranking for the United Kingdom, for the larger Jamaats, first Worcester Park, second Masjid Fazl, third Birmingham South, fourth Gillingham, fifth Birmingham West, sixth New Malden, seventh Glasgow, eighth Islamabad, ninth Putney, and tenth Hayes. In terms of regions, the standings are as follows. London B is first, London A is second, then Midlands, North East, Middlesex, South London, Islamabad, East London, North West, Hertfordshire, and then there is Scotland. The first 10 Jamaats for the United States are Silicon Valley first, then Seattle, Detroit, Silver Spring, Central Virginia, Boston, Los Angeles East, Dallas, Houston North, and Orwell. The first 10 local Imarats, local communities, are as follows in Germany. Hamburg first, then Frankfurt second, Wiesbaden, Grüzgerow, Moorfelden-Walldorf. In terms of total collection, the first 10 Jamaats are as follows. Rodemark, Neuss, Mahdiabad, Nida, Freiburg, Koblenz, Florisheim, Weingarten, Pinneberg, and Langen. The rankings of the Emirates of Canada with respect to total collection are as follows. Vaughan, Calgary, Peace Village, Brampton, Vancouver, Mississauga. The 10 large Jamaats are as follows. Durham, first, then Edmonton West, then Saskatoon South, Windsor, Bradford, Saskatoon North, Montreal West, Lloydminster, Edmonton East, and Abbotsford. The five prominent Jamaats for Daftar Atfal are as follows. Durham is first, then Bradford, Saskatoon South, Saskatoon North, and Lloydminster. The five prominent Imarat for Daftar Atfal are as follows. Peace Village is first, then Calgary, Vaughan, Vancouver, and Weston. In India, the rankings according to province is as follows. Kerala, then Jammu Kashmir, then Telangana, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, Orisha, West Bengal, Punjab, and Uttar Pradesh, then Maharashtra. In terms of total collection, the Jamaats of India rank as follows. Calicut is first, then Hyderabad, then Pattampuram, then Qadian, then Kolkata, then Bangalore, Kannur Town, Bengadi, Karalai, then Karungapalli. The 10 large Jamaats of Australia are as follows. Castle Hill, Brisbane Logan, Marsden Park, Melbourne Longbourn, Berwick, Penzith, Plumpton, Blacktown, Adelaide South, and Canberra. Prominent Jamaats in Australia for Daftar Atfal are as follows. Brisbane Logan, Penzith, Brisbane South, Melbourne, Berwick, Adelaide South, Melbourne Longbourn, Plumpton, Castle Hill, Marsden Park, and Mount Druitt. May Allah the Almighty grant an abundance of wealth and blessings to all those that contributed and blessed them greatly. May their faith and sincerity increase, and may every single person seek the pleasure of Allah the Almighty through their every action and through their words and deeds. After their prayers, I will lead a funeral prayer that is present here today. That is of Ali Gohar Munawar, son of Waji Munawar Sahib from Aldershot, UK. He was travelling to Germany with his family on the 23rd of December 2017. When they reached near Cologne, they were involved in a car accident when a tyre burst. His mother was driving the car. He passed away at the age of 5. To Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. Ali Gohar was part of the Waqf-e-Nau scheme. His paternal grandfather, Chaudhry Munawar Hafiz Sahib, is originally from Narawal in Pakistan. He named his grandson after his paternal great-grandfather, Hadrat Ali Gohar Sahib, who was the first Ahmadi in the family, as well as a companion of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Ali's maternal grandfather, Mr. Muhammad Aziz Sahib, was originally from Hyderabad, Dakkan. Ali's mother, Nusrat Jahan, works in the English letter department of her PS office. As I mentioned earlier, the mother was driving the car at the time of this tragedy. The mother of Nusrat Jahan, that is the maternal grandmother of the child, was sitting next to him and sustained heavy injuries, as a result of which she is currently hospitalized. May Allah the Almighty grant her a blessed and healthy life and grant the child's parents patience and forbearance. With the grace of Allah, the parents have burdened this loss very patiently, especially the mother. Children are innocent, and undoubtedly God Almighty enables children to enter paradise instantly. May Allah grant the parents patience and steadfastness, and grant them an excellent recompense. As I mentioned, I will lead the funeral prayer after the prayers. As the funeral is present, I will go outside to lead the prayer. The rest of the congregation should remain in the mosque and participate in the funeral prayer from here.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَدُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ